We now turn to North-South cooperation and to propose this motion, Alex Atwood.
So I'll be very brief because there's an emergency motion come up. So imagine this scenario, that in 2007, governments and parties in some part of the world committed to do a review about how we could maximise opportunities for people in a certain part of the world. And imagine in 2014 that the first part of that review has never been published. The second part of that review, we don't know if it's even been done. And that it's been decided that in order to take the review forward, we should just hand it over to government departments to deal with in a private way. And that's what's happened in relation to a commitment entered into at the St Andrews talks in 2007, where governments and parties committed to doing a review of North-South, that there'd be two parts to that review. Part one would be a health check on what has been done to date, and part two would be what would happen in the future. And here we are, 7 years later, that part one hasn't been published. We're not quite sure what's happened to part two, but in any case, the whole thing is now parked in various government departments, north and south. So why has that happened? It has happened because the DUP have been allowed to hold up and slow down the development of North-South at the very time when North-South needed to be accelerated given the financial and recession threats to the island of Ireland. It's secondly been held up because Sinn Féin are just so weak that when the DUP wipe one of their eyes, they turn around and wipe the other. And it's been held up because Dublin governments, should have been stronger over the last number of years in terms of protecting the authority and the potential of the structures of the Good Friday Agreement, including Strand 2, around which North-South is part. So we have published today a document that is a political assessment of where we are in the talks and across the island. And one of the measures of where we go in the island and of the talks is the liberation of North-South. We had a curious conversation with Peter Robinson around the talks recently, where when we outlined essentially that argument, he said, look what's happening up at Alta Galvin, Inspector of Health, and look what Jim Wells, the new health minister, has decided in respect of children's cardiac treatment. And he's right. Health is 40% of the budget on the island of Ireland, public expenditure, and opportunities for health need to be accelerated, as has happened in Altnagelvin and with cardiac children's care. So the measure of the talks, among many measures of the talks, in terms of comprehensive and decisive outcome, is the DUP going to shape up on North-South? Is Sinn Féin going to join us in pushing North-South? And will the Irish government stand with us as we argue for more North-South, not for the narrow political reasons, much though we wish to share in the life of the rest of the island, but because it makes sense financially, economically, socially, culturally, and in terms of the lives of our citizens.
Could I call on Patsy McLaren to second this motion?
Thanks very much indeed for bringing the motion before us. North-South, people often talk about what North-South is. In more recent times, I've been down in Dublin, and I have to say that have received considerable support and cooperation from Damien English, the new minister in charge of innovation, and also Sean Sherlock, who has committed himself deeply to North-South working arrangements. Indeed, only a week ago there, we had a joint meeting of both committees, the Enterprise, Trade and Investment Committee and the respective committee from the Dáil, and we're working through areas of common interest. But in particular, the areas which are of common interest and the areas where North-South really does make sense. That would be in the field of, for those of you who are aware of it, the Horizon 2020, where there's a budget right across the EU of 80 billion euros, and where you can actually use the situation that we have of partition in the north. One of the key conditions of it is that applications must come jointly from two jurisdictions, where we can work closely together and help through our various academic institutions, working with the SME sector, which is crucially important, and draw down those fundings for R&D, because, really, we had the chat about corporation tax last night at the workshops. Corporation tax reduction or varying powers can be a lever to help attract industry from across, from overseas. However, if we don't have high-tech, high-skilled industries and products and the support for them locally, we really are using corporation tax as a lever or an allure, and we need to make sure that the respective pool of resources, of research, of a bank of well-trained workforce is out there for them. Now, however, today I really think that that's some of the practical reality of the work that's going on. However, I was listening to the news this morning on BBC Radio 4, and I heard the comments by the new Foreign Secretary, the British Foreign Secretary, Philip Hammond. And the quote is, Britain has to be prepared to walk away from the EU. Now, that absolutely turns any concept of North-South economic development utterly on its head. Because for those of us who can remember, as I do, going down to the All Irelands in Dublin with my late father, I can remember those checkpoints. I can remember the triangular T thing that you have to shoot up in your car, on the windscreen of your car, that wee thing, a bit like a tax disc, only it's triangular. I can remember all those checkpoints. Those of us can remember the checkpoints more recently were customs. So, this guy is talking dangerous stuff to pander to the right wing in Britain, but it's dangerous stuff that could have severe implications for business in the north. What do I mean by that? Almost two-thirds of SMEs in the north do business with the rest of the island. Now, this lunacy, at a time whenever we hear about Tories, we hear from the DUP about cutting red tape. The very thing that this guy's talking about, walking away from the EU, would increase red tape almost, what, two, four, fivefold for businesses. Businesses cannot afford that. So, while we're here today, and while we're talking about North-South making sense, other issues elsewhere, as the Tory government panders to the right wing, as the Tory government seeks to scoop in the worst elements of racism, the worst elements of let's be insular, let's be introspective, let's not think about the free movement of goods, services and people, which works always. In actual fact, one of the problems that's facing parts of Europe at the moment is the lack of available manpower. Free movement of goods, services and people. It's there for a reason, it was worked through for a reason, aside from the obvious political reason of having people throughout Europe working together in their common interests rather than the wars that we'd been faced. So, today, it's good to hear the broad thematic issues of what the party has been working on around North-South. It's for us as spokespeople within the party to work those through with our counterparts in the rest of the island, and we do, and I do. I'd be in Dublin regular to see it through. But this is a task for our MPs to make sure, including in these talks to Teresa Villiers, to make sure that the lunacy that this guy is talking about, Philip Hammond, if translated to the north here, would have grim, grim prospects for our SME sector. Thanks very much indeed. And I look forward to hearing other contributors on this. Thank you.
I'm not proposing to take any further speakers on this motion, as we're running short of time, and we want to incorporate an emergency motion at this stage before we welcome our Minister, Mark H. Durkin. So could I ask you for a vote on Motion 91? All those for? Thank you. Universal. Could we then proceed to that emergency motion, which will be introduced by Thomas O'Hanlon.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, as the motion states that we're asking conference to note the publication of Ireland 2016, the document this week by the Dublin government outlining the plans for commemorating the 1916 rising. And there's five themes that the government have announced: remember, reconcile, imagine, present and celebrate. And what we're calling on the party leadership to engage with the Dublin government to ensure these events are organised on an all-island basis. Conference, the document is very clear in that it organises events on a 26-county basis. And I believe that is completely and utterly wrong. The legacy of 1916 belongs to everyone on this island and indeed these islands. And whilst welcoming the publication of the document, it does outline a lot of events and a lot of initiatives. They don't embrace all the people of this island. This commemoration provides us with, us, all the people of this island, with the opportunity to reflect on our past, to examine the issues in a dignified way, and to shape the future of this island in a way which the men and women of 1916 envisaged. Conference, I ask you to support the motion. Thank you.
Colm Eastwood to second the motion.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Conference. I think, as Thomas said, we all look forward to the commemorative year in 2016. We look forward to, and we're glad to see the Dublin government making an announcement this week. But I think what we're saying is it has to be any commemorations around 2016 or any of the centenaries that are happening around this decade have to be done on an all-island basis, but also have to be done in a way that is inclusive of all traditions across this island. The word Republican, Conference, has been used and abused by some of our friends in this country over the years. In fact, it's been used to abuse, as we found out far too many times. I think what we need to be doing is being part of a progressive, pluralist, open, modern, 21st century vision and version of what Irish republicanism should be about. And I think we have a very proud tradition in that vein. The people who would use and abuse that word and that tradition have done nothing to advance the noble cause of uniting Catholic, Protestant and dissenter. I think that's been the role that the SDLP has played for the past 40 years, and it's a role that we'll continue to play. It's also important, though, to say, Conference, that if we are going to be part of looking at how we develop a new vision for Ireland, for a modern Ireland, going into the next century, we have to also be able to play our full part in the governmental and parliamentary life of the island. And any reform of the Oireachtas, including Shannon reform, which has been some announcements this week, has to include the northern citizens of this country. We cannot have another wasted opportunity around Shannon reform that we don't include northern representation, that we don't include northern representation in terms of presidential votes. So I think the SDLP again wants to reaffirm and reassert our position on those issues, but I do welcome the motion. I think it's important that we ensure that we get these centenaries right, because some people will look to hijack them, some people will look to use them as an excuse to wave a big flag at the other side and not embrace the true principles of republicanism that have been abused over the years by those same people. Thank you very much.
Again, I'm not seeking any more speakers on this motion, so could we take a vote? Those in favour of the motion? Thank you. Motion passed. And we welcome Margaret Durkin and John Clayton to chair this session.